Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Foundations of a Forerunner Ministry, Session 2, Why We Need Forerunner Ministries. Now, as I said, last week was the what. We talked a little bit about what a Forerunner Ministry is, and if you're like, wait, I missed last week. Don't worry, it's online. Go check it out. You can have a thing listened to by the time you get home. But what we're going to talk about today is why we need them, why they're so important, why it's crucial in this hour that there be Forerunner Ministries being raised up. And the gist of it, if you need it just in a phrase, it's this: we're entering into a different hour of human history, a different time frame that looks very different than the previous generations, than the previous hours, than the previous assignments, than the previous ways that the church was expressed, than the previous ways that the world operated. We're entering into a very different time, and you can't change the time, the generation, the climate, the circumstances, the context, and not change the message and the messenger. It would be not equal. And so what's happening right now is the time frame just before the Lord's return is going to look very different than every other hour in human history. And this time requires messengers who have clarity about that time frame. And that's the message. That's what we're talking about. This is, you know, something that we want to just point out. The Bible has been talking about the coming of the Lord and the end times for a long, long time. And eventually there's a moment where it's real. And right before it's real, the generation that's alive right before it's real had better be living like it's real. I mean, that's the gist. The generation that's alive right before it actually happens has to live differently than every single generation that preceded it, because what's going to be required of them and what's going to be happening is going to be different than every generation that preceded it. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of verses that are kind of heavy, but they help paint the picture here. We've got Daniel 12, 1, and then Matthew 24, 21. Both of these verses say pretty much the same thing. In fact, it's Jesus more or less quoting Daniel. Okay, so Daniel wrote it, you know, back in the day, and then Jesus is quoting Daniel. This is describing the time frame just before Jesus returns. And when I say time frame, I really want to say generation, because it's not like everything happens in 15 minutes. It happens over years and years, and yes, there are specific moments of time or chunks of time that are identified clearly in the Word, but it's really the entire generation leading up to the coming of the Lord that's going to be very different. Daniel says, Daniel 12, 1, there will be a time of distress. Now, I just want you to think about this. Either the Bible is true or the Bible's a lie. If the Bible's true, when did this happen? There will be a time of distress as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. Then Jesus, hundreds of years later, he's quoting Daniel and expounding on it just a little bit. Daniel or Matthew 24, there will be a time of great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. That's how intense we're talking. It's so intense. We're talking about a generation that things are going to get so intense, 100% of the human population would die if it went on just a little bit longer. Now, we've never seen anything like that before. We have never experienced, the world has never experienced that moment. It's still a future moment. But it's a moment that I believe that we're living in the shadow of, that it's coming. Well, how does God feel about all this? God wants to provide the earth with some people that understand. God does not, the reason we have these Bible verses isn't just to freak us out for freaked out sake, so that we can all, you know, go get, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists and everything else to try to work out our emotional issues. These verses are to warn us, to prepare us. These verses are to inform the body of Christ, to inform the church that's supposed to have understanding, to inform those that have B-I-B-L-E's. God wants to answer the dilemma of the last generation, answer the difficulty by raising up people that understand the difficult time period. It's a different hour. It requires a different preparation. It requires a different messenger. God wants there to be not just individuals. God wants there to be companies of people that have clarity about the challenging time that's coming ahead. He wants there to be people that understand this stuff. They heard a message one time on the end times. Not they kind of believe that Jesus is coming at some point. God desires there would be people that understand the Bible. I mean, isn't that like the most simple message ever? God wants people to understand the Bible and be able to then apply the Bible. Well, part of what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about some. Now, this is a broad subject. I mean, it was very difficult for me to try to figure out how to do 3 messages on this subject, okay? Because I'm sneaking like 5 messages into each one, just kind of. There's like 50 that I could think of related to how complex and how important and how big of a subject matter this concept is. God desires for there to be people that understand this stuff. So what we're going to do in this session is we're going to talk about a few. Again, it's not all of them, but a few of the subjects that the Lord wants forerunners. He wants forerunner messengers chewing on. He wants there to be a diet for the forerunner, a theological diet. The subjects that we're thinking about and talking about, that we're diving into, that we're understanding what the Word of God says. There are some things that are on the menu for the diet of the forerunner at the end of the age. Some things that the Lord wants that these messengers would have been prepared and been meditating on, dialoguing, small group conversations after church, listen to the message again, go read that Bible verse 10 times, meditate on. There are things that the Lord wants the forerunners chewing on for the whole generation leading up until his return so that we could get some clarity on these things. The Lord desires to give us clarity, but he never makes it easy. He never makes it easy. He wants for us to search for it like hidden treasure. He wants for us to dig for it as for gold. And if we will, it's available to us. All right. Here is one of the most primary components about the end times. And I want you, this is one of those ideas I want you meditating on for decades if the Lord gives us that long. Okay? This is one of the most primary, important details about the end times. And it's such a simple idea. You're going to say, Brad, you sound like you probably didn't graduate high school. All right. The end times are God's end times. The end times belong to God. They're not the devil's end times. It's not the lost world's end times. The end times are God's end times. They're his. It's his idea. It's his plan. He's in charge. It doesn't arbitrarily happen. It doesn't happen because the devil's winning. God is in charge. The end times belong to God. I mean, we want to think of the end times belonging to God as much as the beginning times belong to God. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And he created both. So when he did Genesis 1, the devil was not involved in that process. God did Alpha. God does Omega. Okay, so the end times, they belong to God. Now, this is a profound nugget to chew on. Because it means that the 150 chapters about the end times, they all belong to him. The ideas, the themes, the difficulties, the trends, the challenges, the glory, the blessings, the victory, it belongs to God. We need messengers that understand this is not a scary story. It's God's final chapter of this age. God's chapter. They belong to God. The end times are in his hand. And not loosely. Not fictitiously, not a little bitly. The end times are entirely God's idea. End times belong to him. God has an end time plan. It's not just that the hour is going to happen. Just think about how meticulous he was in Genesis 1 in the creation when he did the whole I am the Alpha thing, when he started it all. He was not accidental in that decision. Like, you know, I can't believe we created a duck-billed platypus. Wow, that was an accident. Wow, oh, well, that star's not supposed to be there. It's supposed to be over here. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe we made plutonium. Like, God knew what he was doing. It was all very complex. It all happened in a moment, but it was calculated. The end times, that's the same thing. It's calculated. It's complex. I mean, he's the Alpha and the Omega. This is a big deal. He's got a lot going on. This is a very complex storyline. But it's meticulously thought through. God knows what he's doing. I want to tell you, the end times, and when you talk about the end times, you're talking about a generation. Okay, because for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. All right, so when he comes back, like, he's not just thinking of the second he appears in the sky. He's thinking of the entire storyline that prepares for that moment, what he does when that moment happens, and all that happens in the wake of that moment. So he's not thinking about, you know, 20 seconds of, bloom, here he appears in the sky. He's thinking of the entire generation that leads up to that epic moment and even the events that flow out of that. So when we talk about the day of the Lord, we're talking about that whole storyline, not just the 1 minute that he shows up, okay? I want to give you Isaiah 13, verse 9. This is an important concept. This is all part of this diet of the forerunner kind of thing, okay? See, the day of the Lord is coming. It's called the Lord's day. It's called a day that belongs to the Lord. It's not just another day. This one's special. Now, every day is the Lord's. He's the God of everything, but this day is even more God's day. This time frame belongs to the Lord even more succinctly, more specifically, more specially. This is the day of the Lord. This is God's big moment. This is the unveiling. It's almost like everything else has been preparing for the play, and this is the opening act. This is the day of the Lord, and Isaiah tells us it's coming. The day of the Lord is coming. The Lord has a day. I just think, stop there for a second. The Lord has a day that is a day that is more important to him than other days. It's called his day. This is a very specific time frame in history. And again, I want to give you, it's not just the moment that he appears in the sky. It's the whole generation. It's the leading up to that moment, and the moment that follows after, the moments that follow. This day to the Lord is so important. It's written about this term, the day of the Lord. That time, that phrase is used, I don't know if it's 100, but I bet you it's at least 50 times. There's a ton of references to the day of the Lord in the Word of God. The day of the Lord, in that day, in the Lord's day. That phrase, that same idea, those are synonymous terms. This is the day of the Lord. It says, oh yeah, by the way, it's a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and destroy sinners within it. Yuck. Be easier if the Lord's day was a day of, you know, unicorns and brownies and muffins. It's like, no, the day of the Lord is going to have some intense aspects to it. I don't want to shy away from something that's called God's day. Even if it's tricky, even if it's troublesome, even if it's tough. If it's God's day, I want it to be Brad's day too. I want to be involved in the storyline of my God. I want to do what he's doing. I want to know what he knows. I want to walk where he's walking. That's all of us. We're all in that boat. We're believers that love the Lord. But we won't understand the complexities of the Omega day without some meditation, without some thinking and some pondering on what the Word of God has to say. But our culture, even our church culture, is mostly ignoring his day. It's just not on anybody's heart or mind. Now, I don't think that's because anybody's bad. I just think it's, we're used to doing what our mom and dad's generation did. And they were used to doing what their mom and dad's generation did. And they were used to doing what, we're just used to kind of just following the path. But now the Lord is awakening the importance. We must begin to shift the dialogue. We must begin to engage in this conversation. And so while it's true that our culture is mostly ignoring his day, remember it's his day, God's day, the big one, mostly not giving attention, mostly not teaching on it, mostly not thinking about it. Mostly if you just kind of walked around to most Christians and he said, what's the day of the Lord? I think most believers in our culture would probably go, oh, and that would kind of be the end of it. But this is a really important day, but it's mostly being ignored. What's happening is valuable time is being lost. Each year that goes by, we're nearing the day of the Lord, but we're not growing in understanding of the day of the Lord. Time is being lost. We're unaware of what's coming, mostly. When I say we, I mean the body of Christ, because that's we, okay? We are mostly unaware. So even if there's 10 people that understand it a little bit, or 1,000, or 100,000, we, the body of Christ, are not mostly engaged in this conversation. We are mostly unaware of what's about to happen, and what's about to happen is really intense. The day of the Lord, like, intense is the word. It's intense positives. This is going to be the biggest revival in human history. It's intense negatives. There's going to be so much devastation. Intense is the word. I mean, you don't want to be the person that goes to Six Flags and winds up getting talked into the craziest roller coaster that's ever existed, accidentally getting on the thing. You thought you were getting on the mini mine train, and all of a sudden you're on the Titan, and your hair is blown back. You want to have clarity about what you're walking into. The church, whether we like it or not, the church is marching towards the day of the Lord. We are, every day, a step closer to the day of the Lord. It's happening right now. But we're not growing in revelation. It is the most intense time frame in human history. We must begin to get clarity about what is called the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord. What's coming is really intense. There's a lot of verses that could paint this picture. I think Isaiah 24, 1 through 13, paints this picture in one of the most condensed ways describing the intensity. Now, there's a lot of verses that say a lot of things about the end times, and all of them are true. But I think this passage, Isaiah 24, 1 through 13, I think this passage describes the most intensity. It's like, oh my gosh, if you just meditate on Isaiah 24, 1 through 13, I'm convinced you can't walk away from that point of meditation okay. You walk away troubled in your spirit, which is the point. That's part of the point. All right, let's look at the day of the Lord here. Isaiah 24, 1 through, yeah, look at that. We got it up on the screen. Excellent. See, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. Now, does anybody ever think about a moment that that's ever happened? And not since the flood. But Isaiah was written long after the flood. Okay? This has not happened yet. This is a future moment. This is a future reality. It hasn't happened. The Bible can't lie. So if the Bible says something's going to happen and it hasn't happened, it's still going to happen, or God's a liar. Okay? This is going to happen in the future. The Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this word. The earth dries up and withers. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left. Very few humans are left. All joy turns to gloom. All gaiety is banished from the earth. The city is left in ruins. Its gates are battered to pieces. So will it be on the earth and among the nations, as when an olive tree is beaten, or as when gleanings are left after the grape harvest. This is describing the number of cities that are left on the planet after God is done with his business. A tree, an olive tree, you get all the olives out of it, then you beat the heck out of the thing with a big old stick, and all the olives come down, okay? Well, after you've done that, how many olives are left? 1%, 2% of what was there originally? I mean, something, some small number, you weren't done. You kept beating the thing to get all those olives out. So this is how the planet is going to be when God's done. What? If you ponder these verses and you think about what it looks like on a Tuesday in Texas, make it real, bring it home. What does this look like on a Tuesday in March in Texas? This is so intense. This has never happened, and this is going to happen. The diet of the forerunner is to believe what the word says and to take it to heart and then begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what do we do about this? How do we prepare? Because the Lord gives many ways to prepare. We're actually going to spend zero effort in this series talking about how to prepare. I just want to tell you it's in there. Right now, all I want to do in these three sessions, I want to warn us. I want to get us engaged in the conversation. The Lord has a day, and it's going to be really intense. All right, well, let's look at another piece of this that's more the light and fluffy side of things, okay? The day of the Lord is great and terrible, the Word of God says. It says it's both great, it's awesome, there's a lot of good things, and it's terrible. We just read the terrible, okay? Let's look now at the other side of this equation. Part of what's happening when Jesus comes back. This is like the point, okay? Do you know that you were created so that you could be the bride of the Son of God? You were created because the Father wanted his Son to have a bride. He really likes the idea of marriage. He thinks it's a great idea. So much so, before there was ever a human being, he saw his son and said, it is not good for man to be alone. Even before Adam and Eve, he saw his son, knowing that Jesus would become a man, said, it's not good for man to be alone. I want for you to have a bride. So God created this new idea that had never been thought of before by anybody else but him. Humans. You were created so that you could be the bride of Jesus at the end of the age. That's why we were created. For fellowship, and so that the Son of God could have an equally yoked bride. Jesus is coming back for his bride. This is good news. This is light and fluffy, okay? We're talking about the purpose of God's heart related to the end times. It's not just the chaos stuff we were reading a minute ago. That's actually to punish those that are attacking Jesus' bride. All the stuff we read about a minute ago, that's not aimed at the church. That's aimed at those that hate the church. God knows how to protect his church in the same moment, judge the bad guys. He knows how to do that. It's really easy for him. He's been doing it from the beginning. He said, hey, Noah, I need you on a boat. Okay? He said, hey, Korah and all your rebellion, I need you to stand over there. The earth's about to eat y'all. And I need everybody else to stand over here. And then the earth ate Korah and didn't eat anybody else. Then in the time of the Exodus and the Israelites are all coming out of Egypt, God knew how to send every mean judgment possible and not touch one of the people of God. Not one, but judge all of those that were in opposition to the purposes of God. God knew how to part a sea, let all the good guys come through, and then crash the sea down on all the bad guys. God knows how to protect the righteous in the middle of total chaos and judgments that he's in charge of. It's not like nature just freaked out. God freaked nature out with God's hand very carefully and craftily. God knows how to protect the church while judging the wicked. So we read that verse a minute ago, that passage out of Isaiah chapter 24. That's God judging the world, the wicked, not the church. The church is going to be protected. God's coming back, not really to judge the bad guys. That's not really his ultimate thought. His ultimate thought is his son. The Father loves the Son, and he loves the Son's bride, the church. Jesus is coming back to get married. Jesus is coming back for a wedding. Jesus is coming back to get the reward of his suffering, his inheritance, you and me. He gets his church. 2 billion people, 3 billion people, I don't know the number, some large number of people that love Jesus. That's what Jesus is coming back for. That's awesome. That's the end times. When you think about the end times, you don't want to mostly be fixed on the difficulty. You can't forget the difficulty. You mostly want to be fixed on the hope. The hope that Jesus is coming back for a church. Church to do what? To rule and reign with. To rule and reign the creation of all the universe, not just the earth. To rule and reign the universe that God created in tandem with Jesus, in partnership with Jesus, as the equally yoked bride of Jesus forever. That's what the end times is about. Wrapping up this chapter to start the real story. The next age where Jesus is ruling and reigning. Give you Matthew 24:30. This is what the end times is about. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with his power and great glory. Jesus is coming to show himself as the King of Kings. And then to actually be the King over all the kings. He's going to put new kings in place, and they're going to be righteous and love Jesus. And then he's going to rule and reign for the generations to come, for ages to come. The church is going to get to reign with Christ. Guys, this is actually what we were made for. I don't know if you knew this or not. You're in kindergarten. You're in an internship. You're going to live for what? 80 years, 100 years, 105, like really live and kicking? Do you know how long a billion years times a trillion years is? I don't. But it's long, and it's a lot longer than 80. You're going to live for 1 minute. You are alive for 1 minute in the blink of eternity, and then you will live forever somewhere, heaven or hell. You will live eternally. Right now, all of this is just preparation for the real story. Right now, we are in the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. You are in the summer before kindergarten. You have not even started. This is just preparatory for eternity. In a billion years, we'll all think back to this moment and go, wow, we were really peewee. We were so small. We had so little understanding. We were living like we were only going to live for 80 years, and then that was it. That's ridiculous. Every person was made in the image of God means they're eternal, and every person will live forever somewhere. Every person. Every person. The person that says God's not real will live forever somewhere, heaven or hell. Everyone will live forever. So when we're talking about eternity, and the real story starts when Jesus comes back, now all of a sudden the end times, they're God's end times. Now it's all of a sudden, it's a chapter break. It's a page turn. We're going from this age as things last and look now into the next age, and things will get crazier and better. And yes, it will be quite tumultuous in the transition. When we transition from this age and the rulers of the earth and the wickedness of this hour, we transition from that to Jesus Christ ruling on the earth as a man, as a human man, who is fully God, but he is 100% man. As a fully man leading the earth, yes, there will be great transition and it will be tough. In fact, God's going to have to do all that judgment stuff because the earth will not appreciate the new leader. You know, a lot of times when a new leader comes in and takes control, the old regime does not so much appreciate the new leadership. They kind of liked their position of authority a minute ago that just got usurped. And so they rally against and rail against the purposes of that new leader. Well, we're going to see a new leader come and take over the planet. I mean, hostile takeover. The end times is Jesus' hostile takeover of his planet that belongs to him. That right now is succumbed to all the negative systems, all the wickedness, all the evil of evil men, of evil nations, of evil agendas. Jesus is coming to make the wrong things right. The end times belong to God. Now all that, I mean, nobody's like going, no, boo, because we know this to be true. Our own souls testify. The Holy Spirit within us bears witness. This is our story. This is the future. Here's the problem. You don't know your own story. We don't know our own story. We are so unfamiliar with this. This sounds like new ideas. This sounds like new information. The Lord is looking for companies of people who will get clarity about the true story, about the real point of life, about the purpose and the destiny, about where we're going. The Lord is looking for companies of people to lock into the story. They're called forerunners. They are those that will prepare the way for the Lord in the generation that he returns. But the only way that happens is we begin to dialogue with the Lord about the story and get clarity about the story. And the best source for the information is the Bible. We look at what the Word of God says and we enter into the story. I'm going to give you a few of the components that make this such an unusual hour. The last generation that leads up to the return of the Lord. We said it's going to be difficult. We've used the word unusual, unprecedented. I want to give you a few of the components because they are intense. They are intense. Unparalleled destruction. Daniel 8:24, Revelation 16. Daniel 8:24. This is talking about the Antichrist and what he's going to be doing. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. Unprecedented, unparalleled destruction. What about the way that the Lord's responding? Revelation 16:18-20. This is now the Lord responding. There came a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on the earth. No earthquake like this has ever happened. An earthquake is coming that will be the worst earthquake in the history of the earth. The cities of the nations collapsed, and God remembered Babylon and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found any longer. There's going to be unprecedented destruction, unparalleled destruction. I just want you to hang on to that phrase, unparalleled destruction. We're about to enter a time frame that has never seen the kind of destruction that is about to happen. Unparalleled destruction. All right, next one. Incomprehensible loss of life. I'm trying to give us big phrases that blow our mind. Incomprehensible loss of life. Revelation 6:8 and Revelation 9:15. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. This is a future moment in the end time drama that says one-fourth of the human population will be killed. Currently, right now, we're going to round and we're going to call the human population 8 billion people. Okay? 8 billion people. A fourth of 8 billion is 2 billion dying in 6 weeks. Or 3 months or 5 months. In a minute. What? Incomprehensible loss of life. It doesn't compute. You read one-fourth, and it's like we're all thinking of like 10 people and 2.5 of them die. We're not thinking about 10 billion people and 2.5 billion die. Incomprehensible loss of life is coming. Incomprehensible loss of life is coming. 9:15, the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now this, just so you know, this is after the one-fourth happened. So I just want to give you the numbers. Let's go with the 8 billion. 8 billion, Revelation 6, one-fourth dies, 2 billion gone, remaining 6 billion. Then Revelation 9, which happens later. Now a third of six are taken, another 2 billion. A minute ago you had eight, now you have four. In a minute. Again, 2 years, year and a half. Incomprehensible. We cannot fathom this. That is so many times more than the total death toll of World War II. I mean, it's like 50 times or 100 times the death toll of World War II. World War II was unbelievable. It was unthinkable. This is so much more than that. The Lord wants messengers that understand the hour we're walking into. Think about how important the message of heaven and hell is now when half of the earth in two of the judgments are gonna die. Incomprehensible loss of life. Unbelievably anointed deception. I am most concerned about this one. I am most concerned about this for my friends, my family, our church, those that I know and love. I am most concerned about this. Jesus is the one repeatedly who said the deception is going to be so intense, most people are going to at least start walking down the path of deception. And the way to protect yourself is the word of God and just nurture on the truth. That's what you do. You chew on the truth. It's part of the reason. This is one of these components, one of these nuggets that the forerunners need to be chewing on for years and decades, if we're given the time. Decades we need to be chewing on it so that we don't wind up succumb to it. We can be part of the solution, proclaiming it ahead of time. Revelation 13:8. This is coming on the earth. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. This is the Antichrist. All whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Oh my gosh. We're not talking about however many billions of people that is. I don't know. Whatever the number. Let's call it 8, 6, whatever. 6 billion people. We're not just talking about 6 billion people being bad. We're talking about 6 billion people worshiping the Antichrist as God. That is totally crazy. What level of deception for people to worship the Antichrist as though the Antichrist was the real God? That is totally backwards. You don't get to that level of deception in 5 minutes. You grow in deception. It started now. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. Now, this is talking about the church. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. Turn away, as in they were in the faith yesterday. Many will turn away. I was in the faith. I'm turning away from the faith. Many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. You don't have to grow cold, but your default will be to grow cold. You do not have to grow cold, but the default will be you grow cold. This is so intense. We are talking about an unbelievable anointed deception movement. It's not one person, it's in the water. It's in the culture, it's in the earth. This isn't one nation or one people or one. This is the planet entering into an unbelievable anointed deception. I don't like deception. Anointed deception sounds horrific, and unbelievably anointed deception, whoa dang. The church, the forerunners, need to be feeding on what the word has to say about this subject. Every one of these verses I'm giving you, there's 50 more just like them. This is, I'm just going, boom, boom, boom. This is not a light, barely mentioned idea in the word. It is a primary subject of the entire Bible. 150 chapters in the Bible are dedicated to the last generation, to the details about that generation. And there's only 1,189 chapters in the Bible. So well over 10% of the Bible is dedicated to the day of the Lord. Of course it is. It's God's day. The day of the Lord. It's the time frame God comes back and changes the hour that we're living in into the next age. Of course there's 10% of the Bible dedicated to that subject. It's the day of the Lord. And it's mostly ignored. It is not information we're familiar with. This is becoming a problem because we're edging in. Each year is time lost where we're not gaining that clarity. Unmatched rise of wickedness. In history, there's never been wickedness like this before. Right now, what we see, it's bad. I get to hear some stories that I wish I didn't hear. There's some terrible things happening. It's nothing by comparison to what's coming. The wickedness will rise unbelievable, just like these other unbelievable, incomparable, inconceivable. I mean, all that kind of rise of wickedness. See what the word says. Daniel 8 and then Revelation 9. You know, God doesn't overstate stuff. God doesn't exaggerate. When rebels are bad. When rebels have become completely wicked. What a phrase. When those who are in disagreement with God's purposes, when they have entered into 100% of their capacity to be in disagreement with God's purposes, when they have become completely wicked, it's never been, which is why Daniel's writing about it, because it's a mind-boggling idea. We always want to believe at least there's a little good left in that person who's on death row or who did this crazy atrocity. At least there's something. At least they can say, they can smile once in a while. When rebels have become completely wicked, then a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. The Antichrist doesn't come until the generation is already ripe for him. The Antichrist, the stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He's already being ushered in by a generation that will have become completely wicked. Guys, I don't know about you. If right now is as good as it gets, culturally, sin-wise, wicked-wise, if right now is as good as it gets, and it's going to get much, much worse, I want to have understanding about what we're walking into. I want to grow in clarity of what the Bible says. This is very important. Unmatched rise of wickedness. Can you start to see why we need some forerunners and understand what's going on? This stuff is crazy. This stuff is so outside your box, so outside of life as usual, so outside of, you know, I go to school and I get an education and I get a job and I get married and I have kids. I mean, it's so outside the normal. This is totally crazy. And God gave us 150 chapters that said, you can bank on this insanity. It is your future. It's coming to the planet. I don't want to ignore this. Forerunners are those that hear this message and something stirs in them that says, I'm going to be part of the solution. I'm going to get some clarity on this. I am not going to enter into that hour with the lack of understanding that I currently have. I am going to enter in with clarity. The prescription for survival is that we would pursue the Lord in the midst of all this. Preparing messengers to carry his message. I skipped forward a little bit just so you know. I'm in Roman numeral 5 in my notes. Preparing messengers to carry his message. The end times, What's happening right now? It's all about the Lord preparing his people to get what he wants. He wants us, but he wants us in partnership. He doesn't want us in existence-ship. He wants us in partnership. He wants us partnering with him in what is called his day, the day of the Lord, the big show, the big game. He wants us engaged in that. So the end times are really about God preparing the earth for the transition, preparing the church for the transition, preparing everything for what's coming. A generation that step by step is preparing for the transition of the age. He's looking for people. He's looking for individuals he can entrust this message to. I'll tell you, I want to have a whole lot more clarity about what I'm talking about than I do right now. I want to grow in clarity so that half of you in the room are going, wow. Half of you in the room are going, huh? And if there was another half, because I'm really good at math, the third half is going, I don't care about any of this. I'm out of here. I want to grow in clarity where 100% go, dang! And not dang, Brad, dang, God, whoa. I want to be a messenger. I want you to be messengers that are taking this trust to understand the day of the Lord and to prepare for his coming. It's so important. He's not just looking for individuals. He's looking for companies of people. It's the reason we're doing this series. I could have this conversation with you guys as individuals. I'm having it with us as a church. We're a forerunner fellowship. We're a church, not just individuals. I mean, you can't be a church unless you got individuals. But we're a church. We're a body. We're a congregation that wants to be engaged in the storyline and living like it's true. We're a congregation that is preparing for this as best we know how. And part of our preparation is, oh God, we don't know how. That is a great way to prepare. Go, oh God, help. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. Part of our process of preparation is, oh God, we don't even know how to prepare. And then God gives more to the humble. He gives grace to the humble that will come to him like that. He's looking for companies of people. He's refining messengers, this whole process. I want to go one step broader now. And I want to talk about what forerunner ministries do in the earth. And then we'll be done for this morning. God's raising up forerunner ministries to make the earth ready. Not just to make me ready, to make your friends ready, to make the earth ready. Now what that means is there need to be ministries that begin to take on a thought process of, I care about my zip code. I care about my city. I care about my county. I care about my state, my country, that are going beyond just the idea of it'd be good for me to be a blessing to my family, me to be a blessing and have some forerunner clarity to talk to my 10 friends. There need to be ministries that begin to take on the revelation. God wants the planet prepared. How do we as a church start to impact our part of planet Earth? A zip code or five? A city? A state? How do we start to make an impact here regionally, because the Lord is going to use forerunner ministries to impact regions of the Earth? Regions. I don't have a lot of clarity on this point. I know it to be true. It's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist prepared the region of Judea. They were as prepared as God was willing to let John be successful to prepare. John prepared the region of Judea for the coming of Jesus at the first coming. John had clarity, not just about what was about to happen, the coming of Jesus at the first coming, but also even, how do I go about getting this message out? John had some understanding from heaven about how to prepare the region of Judea for the coming of the Lord at the first coming. We need to begin to start to grow up. Right now, again, we're in the summer before kindergarten. We need to grow up in our understanding so that as a forerunner fellowship, we can start to get some clarity about what do we do to start to prepare our Judea? How do we begin to impact Arlington? How do we begin to get some clarity? Because the Lord desires to prepare the earth, and the way that he gets his message out is he uses people. I just want to make it really clear There's no one better fit to do this than you. Who? Oh, that other smarter person. They're just as dumb as you and me. No, they're cooler. They're not cooler. They really have a prayer life. Maybe they don't. There is no one more fit to do this than you. You are able. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have fellowship. You have a crazy man as your pastor. You have everything you need to be forerunner messengers at the end of the age. All it takes is the commitment to say, I'm going to be one of those voices. I'm going to get clarity. In a year, I'm going to have more clarity than I have today. In 2 years, I'm going to have more clarity than that. In 5, more than that. I am going to get clarity. I am going to be part of the solution. Isaiah 40, 3 through 10, just a little excerpt here. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. His reward for those that have been faithful, recompense means judgment. It's the opposite of reward. It's the bad reward. You did good, you get a reward. You do bad, you get recompense. His reward and his recompense are with him. And you notice, it's voices crying out. He's coming with reward and recompense. He's coming with rejoicing and judgment. He's coming. Jesus Christ is coming back to the planet, and it's people who have clarity about the reality. They're declaring it before he comes. Saying, he's coming, he's coming. Prepare the way for the Lord, prepare the way for the Lord. But the only way anybody could pray that or say that or do that is if they spent significant time leading up to that, getting the message in them so that they understand what the heck they're saying, so they don't stand out on the side of the street with a weird sign that doesn't make any sense that said the end is near and they don't have any clarity about what the world that means. We got to be those with understanding. And the way we get that understanding is time. My hope in this series is to get us bothered. I want to give us a holy bother. I want us bothered that we would see this and just go, at least I'm not prepared for this. At the very least, I can rectify that in my brain. If any of that's true, I'm not ready for that. That is not what I thought my future held. That is not what I thought was going to happen. That's not exactly what I thought Jesus was going to do. Let's give up on what we thought and let's embrace what the Bible says. Let's go on the journey of understanding what the Word says about this, because the Lord is desiring that there would be forerunner companies that would rise up with clarity about what he's about to do.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.